Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, November 1st. We're coming back from a Halloween night. Right, Rachel?
We are. I mean, I didn't.
You didn't trick or treat or anything?
I had a haunting night in with Thai food. And we tried
was
to watch.
Was it haunting?
It was amazing. And Then we tried to watch a movie, but I fell asleep at like 9:30. It was pretty exciting.
Oh, did you have any kids coming in getting candy and stuff?
Well, I went to my boyfriend's house, and he lives in a neighborhood. And as I was pulling up with like my like overnight bag, I saw literally 10 kids go up to like the front of, because he lives in an apartment kind of house thing, right. And they went to the front, to the lady whose apartment is in the front, and he's around the side. I was like, gosh, I hope they're not coming up here, because like it's, first off, he lives upstairs, and also we don't have any candy. So that's literally 12 kids and like all of their parents, you know, just we're the neighborhood loser, you know. Grinches. No, he works all day, so he didn't, you know, he didn't stop. And like also
You know, and usually apartment buildings, kids don't come anymore, you know, just in houses.
He lives in a neighborhood,
right?
So it's like there's houses all around,
right? So there are kids, there,
right?
And stuff, yeah. But what I'm saying is, to apartment buildings, they can't get in, you know.
No, not anymore.
So, but it's disappointing, because if you want to give them candy, then you know, often people are like, "Where's all the kids?" You know. So last night I was at my parents', and there were some kids coming.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
You just got to go to a friend's or a neighborhood or something.
Yeah. My mom is like, why did you guys get such a big bag of candy? I'm like, I don't know. My brother did, right? She's like, take it all home with you. By the time I left, it was gone.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So relax, you know. I'm telling my mom that, to relax.
Let the kids have candy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we had a mystery last night. My dad tells me that he says I fell, and I was lying for 5 hours and nobody came.
What?
And I'm like, Dad, I said, where did you fall? He says, here, over here. And he showed me, you know, by the patio. I said, Dad, you can't walk. How did you walk from your bed to here? You must have, I said, your brain is playing games on you again, because he has Parkinson's and oncoming dementia, let's say.
Right.
Okay. And it's getting pretty bad. So he thinks that things are happening that don't happen, right? Like he thinks there's parties in the house while he's sleeping. Things like that, you know? So I'm like, Dad, here we go again. You know, I mean, your brain's probably playing games on
you. Right.
And I said, you know, it's got to be hard and all this. And he says, yeah, well, he says, I can't tell the difference between reality and dreams anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we left it at that, right? And he had like a whole story, but he does. He does have stories that he comes up with, like movies in his head that don't exist. But at any rate, and we're like totally fucking, don't make a big deal out of it. Then the caregiver who had left in the morning on her day off, she comes in the evening, and she says, oh, you know, I found him on the floor this morning.
Yeah, he really did fall.
He fell.
Yeah.
Now, not only that, but we're like, so how the fuck did he get here, right?
Yeah.
So we looked, we have cameras, and we looked at the camera. He actually walked.
Yeah.
Holding onto the walls and to the couches. He doesn't know why he walked across the house. Then he went and tried to sit on a chair, and he fell.
Aww.
And he called and called and called. Nobody heard him. My mom didn't hear him. The caregiver didn't hear him. For 5 hours he was there. He says, I was freezing my ass off. I couldn't sleep. 5 hours.
Where's the caregiver?
Yeah, where the fuck is her caregiver? She's like, I'm like, your door was closed, right? She's like, well, the air conditioning's really cold. I said, then you just asked us to close your vents or something. You don't close the door. So,
you had a talk with her?
I had a talk with her, but it's got to be, it's very serious. Think about it.
Yeah,
he
always
fucking died.
Do you have life alert?
We do, but how is he going to reach it, you know? And then later I was thinking,
you got to wear a watch or something, like an eye. They got to come up with like something you can wear. So you just have to, he has to push a button.
Exactly. So they have them like with a, that you can hang it around your neck with a button.
Yeah.
But if he's sleeping, he doesn't have it around his neck. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
so they have it, but it's not like really reachable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Do they have watches like that?
They should.
Yeah. I know. So, yeah, I mean, what hell? But you know what the... And let me tell you why this was weird, because a couple of days before that, later I thought about that. A couple of days before that, he said, I was in a room and nobody would come and get me. I was sitting here for hours. And I said, what are you talking about? And that turned out to be a dream or imagination. But look, what a precursor to what happened.
Yeah.
Like a premonition almost.
Right.
Right?
Are you sure no one came and got him? Did you check the cameras?
No, but he walked.
Time?
Oh, the first time? No, I mean, that was in the middle of the day. Nothing happened. But what I'm saying
sounds like you need to have a talk with the caregiver.
Right? I mean, if my dad gets up and he doesn't remember that he can't walk, you know. But that's the thing. But later I thought he could have crawled or rolled on the floor.
I hope that if I ever get dementia that I forget like the things that you want to forget. Like you forget that I, you know, like I forget that I'm not pretty anymore. You know, that I want to forget like, that I don't like chocolate. You know, like I want to forget things that don't matter. You know what I mean? Like that's
I guess that makes sense.
Like I want to forget about all the people who wronged me. You know?
Well, you'll probably forget that. But no, I mean, it's nice because we're able to forget some bad things too, which is good, you know. But at the same time, man, it's like you don't even, I don't even want to be around if I'm going to get an onset of dementia. I mean, what kind of a fucking life is that, you know? Man. So later I thought he could have rolled on the floor or something, but then I thought, I didn't even think about it right away, so how could he have, you know? But, yeah, fuck, man. So anyway, that's the situation. So that's what I came, that's how I went to bed last night with those thoughts. And that sucked. So I wish people just a lot of easy time with their aging parents, man. I never thought I'd be involved so much in geriatric shit.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. So how's it going, Rachel? Any shows coming up?
I do have shows. Let's see. What's today? Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday, November 1st.
Let's see. What do I have this week? I actually have no shows this week, so I'll be doing some mics. I have shows next week at Flappers on Wednesday. I think I'm doing a show on Tuesday. And then I just have some, you know.
Good.
I'll be up.
Keep busy.
Yeah.
But now, what did you mean, do mics? Is that like open mic?
Yeah, I'll be, you know, practicing.
Oh, so open mic nights are like just what? Like people
open
just
mics
come in
for comedians are basically for working or for comedians who are trying to work stuff out so when they do shows, they know what what's funny. That's
so
how you find out what is funny.
But how is it different from a regular show?
Because everyone in the audience usually at a mic is a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All trying to. We're all working our stuff out in front of each other.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You don't go to, typically people don't go watch an open mic because it's not going to be
very funny.
It's not meant to be funny. You're meant to find out what's not funny almost, you know, and then take that away, subtract that. And then what is left is what's funny.
Right.
So yeah, it's cool. I mean, that's what you got to do to become a better comedian.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
true. Like being in the gym almost.
Yeah, practicing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. This is going to be about some serious stuff, but very inspiring about kids and cancer and what people are doing for them. So we're going to receive a call by a rabbi from Michigan, I believe. And so that'll be an interesting conversation. We do want to talk about the terror attack yesterday in New York, right? A rented truck plowed into a crowd of bikes and pedestrians and killed about eight. I guess six were killed and then two died later. And, you know, I guess more than a dozen trying to recover. But this was, I guess the suspect was from Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan,
is that how they said? Okay. Came to the U.S. illegally in 2000.
Illegally, like with the lottery.
Legally, yeah. So, scary stuff. They're saying this is the worst since 9/11 for New York. So that's pretty scary, you know. And now, so is this like a new method now? They use trucks because in Europe they've done it a couple times, right, that we know
of. I mean, I don't know. I think, I feel like it is, we're going to start to see, because like, can they get access to those weapons? No, like the guy in Vegas, he was able to get access because he was able to legally purchase these weapons. You know what I mean? Right. So yeah, it seems as if people are finding new means to cause terror.
To hurt us.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no limit to how people, to what people.
I think he had a BB gun though.
Yeah, and a paintball gun too.
Which that's what I'm saying. You couldn't actually find.
Yeah, but what did he do with a paintball gun?
That's what I was like. This whole, it's all maybe so
just
bizarre.
Used it to practice,
it's
or
all
something.
So bizarre.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he brandished imitation firearms. Maybe he just wanted to scare people. You know. Whatever he was thinking.
I don't know, but the thing that's I was listening to news, and the thing that's different than most of these types of attacks is. He's alive, so ultimately they can ask him questions and find out who are the people behind him, how did he get radicalized, where did it come from, you know. So
right, but that's the thing is that I think often it's like lone wolves that they don't necessarily get like orders from ISIS or something, but they're inspired.
They did say that the day that ISIS or one of the groups put out like cause terror, instructing people to cause terror around the world on Halloween or something.
Okay.
You know, the news right after it happened, there's all these speculations. We don't really know what facts are.
Right.
I think that somehow, because I think they asked his wife or something, and she's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it just seemed, you know, who knows? Like, at what point? Does a person decide, I'm going to, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we still are finding out questions. We still don't have all the answers about the mass shooting in Las Vegas. Like, what would cause someone to just, you know?
Right.
And that's the thing is sometimes we don't have answers for these tough questions because there's no explanation.
Right.
There
we
is no explanation.
We try to find the why and we don't find it. You know?
And that, maybe that's what's the saddest part is some people just don't need a reason,
right.
You know, other than that they're a bad person.
Yeah, that's usually the case. You know, evil people who want to hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's pretty scary stuff. And we'll see what happens. I don't know. What else did I want to bring up? There was something I wanted to... I saw a couple of kids yesterday dressed. But those were teenagers, and the teenagers take a little more... effort, I guess, in their costumes and stuff.
LA is very serious about their...
Really, right?
Yeah.
They walk the streets and everything dressed like anything from... I don't know. This girl was wearing a prison suit, and I think that was like Orange is a New Black type of thing. And she had like a black T-shirt and the orange prisoner outfit. So I figured that's probably Orange is a New Black, you know. I didn't know what else it could have been. So yeah, no parties, no Halloween parties for me. So yeah, not like I would have had time anyway. Do you like Halloween?
I did as a kid. I like Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, the Mexican holiday. It's a really cool holiday because that to me is it honors. I love that their culture honors people who have passed. Like. Israel does the same thing. We plant trees, you know, I feel like our culture remembers those. Like we really do who've passed on, especially at like temple and stuff. We always say Yahrzeit or whatever, but the Day of the Dead for, you know, is really cool because they honor, you know, those who've passed on and stuff.
Yeah.
And I like the skulls and the decorations, and I love the culture with that and the food that comes with it. And yeah.
What is it always with skulls, though? You know, I don't know why a lot of people deal with skulls.
I like skulls. I've always, yeah.
I know my daughter's like that too.
I can tell. I feel like she like. Well, they're just. I don't know. I like. I think from growing up in Las Vegas, that Southwestern style of like animal skulls they decorate them and stuff. I know it seems pretty horrific, but I like, I don't know. There's something beautiful about it. Cause at the end of the day, that's all we're left with, aren't skull and bones. Right?
Yeah. But I don't know how it's beautiful for people. It's scary.
I mean, I like how they decorate them and like the haunted, you know, I've never been a perky cheerleader type of girl. I didn't like pink and, you know, bright, you know, like cheery colors, but, and they do, they find a way of Dia de los Muertos. There's a bunch of bright colors and mixed with the skulls and it's also cool. I like it.
Awesome. Well, let's take our guest right now who's calling in, and we're going to be joined by Rabbi G. Are you with us this morning?
I am with you.
Thank you very much for joining us. How are you?
My great pleasure. How are you, sir?
Good, good. I'm here with Rachel.
Hello.
And we're both part of the tribe. We're both Jewish. So so we can use our insider language, if you will.
How did you know Rabbi G was Jewish? I never use Goldberg because that sounds too Jewish. So I use like G just to get onto the radar.
I know. I don't know. The word rabbi didn't really mean much. So I skipped that and just assumed the G.
You know, remember the Jonas Brothers? So Kevin Jonas told me when they told the Jonas Boys about Rabbi G, he thought I was a rapper.
Yeah, right? I guess it sounds like it, you know, if you wanted to. Rabbi, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling you from Southfield, Michigan, where it's now afternoon.
Oh, awesome. And, so I was reading you just came back from Africa. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct. And I am brimming with excitement because we piloted our first three hospital programs in Johannesburg and Cape Town.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So now... why did you guys decide to focus on that area of the world?
You know, every year, the chief rabbi of South Africa, Warren Goldstein, who started the Shabbos Project.
Okay.
So Rabbi Goldstein called, and they have this amazing conference where they bring in thousands of Jews together, which in itself is quite a feat, to what's called Sane Indaba. And every year they invite eight of the world's best Jewish speakers. And this past year, they only found seven, so they asked me to join them.
Yeah.
So I told Rabbi Goldstein that happy to, but I have an agenda. If I go to South Africa, which is quite a long trip,
yes, it is.
I want his help to start Kids Kicking Cancer in Africa. And he said it was pleasure, and when I was there and had a wonderful experience, when I was there, I had the opportunity to meet some great people, and I gave grand rounds because I'm also a clinical assistant professor in pediatrics, so I teach the medical side of this. Mm. Gave grand rounds at Johannesburg General Hospital. I brought the roof down.
Yeah.
Literally, the ceiling collapsed the next day.
Yeah, right. Wow.
But to see these children and to see the darkness that they're enveloped by.
Wow.
So this past trip, we now have an organization there. We have a great committee. And I spent 2 weeks training martial artists to become martial arts therapists. I went to a hospital called Baragwanath Hospital in Soweto. And that's it's the third largest hospital in the world. And for the pediatrics, they have these bunks that look like they were old TB units. And it's child after child, bed after bed, two toilets in the back. And these are kids going through amputations, end-of-life care. There's nobody with them. The parents are too poor to spend time with their kids.
Oh, wow.
So, but in 10 minutes time per child, children were yelling out our mantra, power, peace, purpose. We lowered kids' pain significantly, and we asked them before and after. And I'm so excited that we're going to do our grand rollout in you know, the kind of the official opening. In February, I'm sending in one of my other martial arts therapists in 2 weeks. and bringing some of their therapists back here, accrediting them, and going forward. But that will be our 56th institution now in five countries.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And, you know, it's like so inspiring. You've devoted your life and a big part of it into helping those kids because they're like so helpless, you know. Often they probably don't even know what's going on with them.
Well, the beautiful thing is, and that's our mantra, power, peace, purpose, that we teach the children they're not victims, they're victors, and they're powerful martial artists. And we change that formula so that when they have the tools to breathe through pain and to take control, and then we bring them to teach other kids how to do this. And a few years ago, we said, if we can teach kids, we can teach adults. We'll just talk slower.
Yeah,
and we started bringing our kids to companies. About 5 years ago, I brought a group of kids from Sloan Kettering Hospital to teach the Pfizer executives in New York City how to breathe in the light and lower their stress. And 3 days later, they called me from Italy. Would I go to Rome to teach Pfizer Italy how to do this? And then they got so excited, you know, in Italy that they started our first program, introduced us to Bambino Gesù Hospital, which is the Vatican Children's Hospital, which I thought was like really cool that an Orthodox rabbi needed permission from the Pope's office to teach an Eastern meditative technique to Vatican children.
Right.
And now we're in 10 hospitals going through Italy.
Very impressive. Impressive. So now I see there's the hero circle here. What is that exactly?
So what we have seen, and we've actually published our pain scores in medical review journals, we can lower children's pain with cancer. So we really began to reach out with children with other levels of pain, other issues.
Right.
And the key is that we can lower their pain, give them a sense of control over disease, and then they become teachers. So actually, we're starting a study at the end of November with our children teaching drug abusers how to lower their opioid usage using our techniques. We're creating a virtual reality where we're trademarking the term pain extraction, which is much more than distraction. We actually teach people to image the place of the pain and use the breath to make holes through it using our martial arts training. And we have found extraordinary results. And now every time somebody will need less methadone or Suboxone or some other drug, the message goes back to the child thanking them. So it's means of helping people focus with their breathing, teaching them meditative techniques, identifying pain, and taking control over the pain. You know, in the medical school, we used to teach in the old days that there's a pain center in the brain. Today, we know it's not true. There's a whole neural matrix. If a person's angry, afraid, there's no purpose to what you're going through, the level of the pain shoots all the way up.
Wow.
So our techniques have evidenced that the more people have things to control their pain and the more children are given purpose for their pain, the less the pain actually registers in the brain. And we're doing some very interesting studies using functional MRIs where we can look into the kids' brains and see the difference we're making.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, even if you could save a few lives or just, you know, just the way the kids deal with this, are many of them terminal?
We have a program called our Black Belt Program.
Uh-huh.
We give black belts to kids before they pass away.
Yeah.
And on the black belt, the child's name is embroidered in the words master teacher. So we've been losing too many children, but in many of the types of cancers, particularly like in leukemia, the results are astounding of how many children are almost 90% in some of this, like ALL, the kids are surviving. But even when the children do survive, there's evidence that they survive with a greater level of anxiety and other issues come up. And
yes.
And the secondary issues with children get all types of pathology in their heart and others because of adrenomycin and some of the other chemical agents.
And plus,
giving
I can imagine,
tools,
you know, psychologically.
So
yeah. You know, I would imagine psychologically they're affected quite a bit. Probably they get depressed, they get hopeless you know, I mean, how do you deal with something like this? It's pretty traumatic, you know.
teaching them to bring in this light is so extraordinary. And my first teacher in this was my 2-year-old. She was diagnosed at the Cedars-Sinai Hospital. And at 2 years old, we were at a bone marrow transplant at UCLA. And she used to tell the 5-year-old kids in the clinic not to cry and tell the docs, you know, no medication today, please.
Really?
But she was my first inspiration. And fortunately, she passed away. None of the kids really survived bone marrow transplant 35 years ago.
Really? Mm-hmm.
But the theme of allowing these children to feel their own light and to be empowered and then to teach it to others, we have found to be very, very significant.
Amazing. Amazing stuff, you know. And thank goodness for people like you, you know, because most of us, I think, we're not even aware of these things. Mm-hmm. We're so caught up in what we're doing, you know. And this is noble. I mean, I'm seeing here that you were actually one of the top 10 CNN heroes in 2014. Now, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I guess
deal.
They ran out of heroes that year. But
yeah, right,
it was
right.
Great. And you want to hear something that was amazing, if I could just share this with you. I was Skyping at the time.
Right.
The CNN guy was sitting in the corner videotaping this.
Uh-huh.
I was Skyping with a young man from Johannesburg. And this is a young man who the docs in South Africa told him after he relapsed from an ependymoma, from a very bad brain tumor. They told him that, they told the family there's nothing, we'll just keep him comfortable. They reached out, and I reached out to a doc who was then the chief of neuro-oncology at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, John Finley, and great guy. And John says, I want to see the slides. They sent the slides from Johannesburg, and Dr. Finley calls back the next day and he says, it's a misdiagnosis. We have a cure for it, for what he has. And so this child I was Skyping with, John had given him a first cocktails, which he was taking in Johannesburg, and he was a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And in 10 minutes, his affect changed after the meditation, and this guy in the corner is videotaping this. And I promised this young man, when I go to South Africa, never dreaming I was going to be invited to speak in South Africa, you're going to be my first teacher.
Yeah.
Well, after the CNN crew packed up, I asked the producer, am I allowed to know who nominated me? And she said, sure. She opens up this book, a woman in Irvine, California, Amanda Leibowitz. We like the fact she doesn't know you out of the 50,000, you know, nominees.
Right.
She likes they're mostly brother, sister, cousin. She doesn't know you, but there's a neighbor of hers who knows you better. I don't have her name. I said, her name is Zoe Rock. And she's the aunt of that little boy I was just Skyping with in Johannesburg.
Oh, wow. What a story.
So that's the world. Yeah. And, you know, it's a hero circle. Yeah. And I wrote a book that really kind of sums it up. It's called A Perfect God Created an Imperfect World Perfectly. It's 30 life lessons from kids kicking cancer. You can see it on Amazon.
Yeah.
But every time in the book is embedded these audio meditations. Every time somebody listens to meditation, the numbers go up in front of the children, letting them know that they're teaching the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So you teach the kids meditation, too, to deal with all these things.
Everything is called martial arts, but it's broken up into body scans and meditation and breathing techniques. Martial arts is the metaphor or the key that gets them feeling empowered. We don't do any contact because that won't work with kids with the disease generally.
Right.
But we do when kids are able to, some of the kata, some of the dance of the martial arts. But the key is power, peace, purpose. We ask the thousands of kids that we work with now, what's your purpose? They yell out to teach the world. When you turn people who are victimized by disease into teachers, it changes everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So the book is A Perfect God Created an Imperfect World Perfectly by Rabbi G. You guys can get it, like he said, at Amazon. You guys can also go to the website, kidskickingcancer.org, and you can find out more about everything the rabbi has been telling us. So I understand you have this organization is, like you said, in several countries. And I guess you guys are focusing on spreading it even more.
A lot of children in pain, and what we do can lower children's pain and allow them to spread light. So we are in 6 hospitals in Israel, and I was invited to be, because I was in Africa, I couldn't make it to Bahrain last week, but the head of the Jordanian Martial Arts Shotokan Association came to me in Tel Aviv a few months ago and said, I want to start this in Jordan. So this is really about spreading light to the world, and obviously, we're looking for people who understand the power of that,
right.
People to help us build this across the planet, because when you allow these children to spread that light, the whole globe, everything changes.
That's true. I mean, that's our future generations, you know. That's who's going to carry on with our genes and that. Wow. You know, I mean, I personally know somebody in the family who lost a daughter very early on in her life, and it's not easy to deal with. I mean, you know, it's the whole family, a lot of pressure, stress, anger,
sure.
Pain. You know, I can totally imagine how painful that must be.
Nobody can, but the bottom line is that allowing people to hold on to their child's light and helping to spread that light becomes a different equation.
That's right.
And so unfortunately, I end up speaking to a lot of parents, and our program speaks to a lot of parents, and it's, so we do a lot of palliative care, a lot of hospice work. But ultimately, life is not defined by years. It's defined by days. The greatest tragedy is not the death of a child. Some of these kids have impacted the world amazingly.
Right.
To me, the greatest tragedy is to be with someone who's 95 years old and they're dying and they don't have a clue why they lived. That's tragic.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Rabbi G, so people can find you through the website, right, if they want to contact
you? Sure, absolutely. Kidskickingcancer.org. We look for volunteers, martial artists, other volunteers. We're looking for resources to grow this. Where for children in pain everywhere, there's no reason for children to remain in pain.
Right.
And so our dream is to reach every child in pain across the globe. Right now we see about 3,700. It could easily be 370,000.
Yes. Wow. Very noble. You know, I mean, thank God we have people like you in the world that actually can look beyond themselves and see and help the pain and suffering, you know. So we thank you very much for joining us to enlighten us about this.
Yes, thank you.
And we urge everybody to go check out the website, help out all you can. And I guess, you know, if parents have kids that are with cancer and stuff, they can contact you too, right, to see if they
can
be part of this.
Absolutely. Even though we are in 56 places, but when we are working with a child who we don't have a actual program nearby, we Skype with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no charge for families. So
yeah.
We invite every parent who has a child in pain or every child in pain, give us a buzz, give us a call. We want them to be part of a circle of light and learn that they have the power to push out pain, fear, and anger, create peace. And let them help us teach the world how to bring light into places of darkness.
Amen to that.
I like that.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Of course, Rabbi. And thank you again for all that you do and for joining us this morning. And all the best to you.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Bye. You know,
it's really cool that we have people who do...
I'm telling you, you know, it's like... We all like are caught up in our lives. Oh, I'm not happy this, I'm not happy that, and all this. And then you realize there's some people going through some really
serious
stuff. Well,
they say, like, if you're super depressed, to like another one way to fight it is to go out and do good for other people.
Yeah,
because
right.
When you, like, if you're really depressed, they say, why don't you go volunteer somewhere just to get you out of the house, because when you're doing good for others, it makes you feel good, and you don't have to spend money to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you can just volunteer or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much pleasure in giving, you know?
Right.
Some people don't even try it, so they don't know.
Right,
you know?
Just giving your time to someone,
you know? Of yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. I know. That's why, you know, the people work with the homeless and you know, needy kids and mm-hmm. stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Thank goodness for good Samaritans like that.
Right.
So I guess Black Friday is coming up eventually.
I hate that day.
Right?
It's just the worst.
I know. But I guess Amazon now is going to give you an opportunity to shop in augmented reality, which means that if you're going to like want to see what a refrigerator or a piece of furniture would look like in your house, you can actually do that. With maybe they just let you upload pictures of your house and then, you know, you can superimpose whatever. Mm-hmm. But augmented reality as opposed to virtual reality, you don those glasses, and then you're in another world. But augmented reality actually superimposes virtual stuff over real things. So, like, if you remember the Pokemon Go, that was an example of something like this, you know, where you can actually see your surroundings through your phone, but there suddenly you can find a Pokemon or something. Mm-hmm. It's, like, so weird, you know? Did you ever see people play that?
Mm-mm. Oh, Pokemon?
Yeah, the Pokemon Go.
Yeah, when it was last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, stupid.
Now, when you grew up, they had that, right? Pokemon?
Oh, no? They had the cards, but that was, yeah, that was the older. Cards.
Yeah,
I was,
yeah,
a little bit older.
That's true. You were. Yeah. You were. But because I remember.
I grew up with, like, magic cards.
Right, right.
Do you know what those are? The magic cards?
No. They're,
yeah.
Which ones are those?
They're just, like, it was this game, and it was, like, each card had a character, and you would trade. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I never played. I just, that's,
so
that
that's
was, like,
similar.
Popular. Yeah. Pogs, Tamagotchis.
Yeah. Remember the Tamagotchis? It was like a little virtual friend.
We had this thing called going outside.
Yeah. Yeah. We did have that, right? Mm-hmm. Actually playing outside,
yeah.
Outdoors. I know. You know, as far as that goes, I think I had the best childhood. You
yeah.
know, times were much easier then. A lot of outdoors, a lot of opportunities to be with your friends.
Genuine connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, God, you can't even get kids to get on the phone and talk, man. It's all texting. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting congested. I think I'm coming down with something, really. Like, all of last night, I'm feeling like I can't breathe. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I hope I didn't get sick from anybody. I don't get sick very often.
You better not bring that sickness up in here.
I will not. Believe me, I will not. I'll bring in, like, a medical mask or something.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine walking around with
yeah.
this? Some people do, you know?
I know.
It's very funny. But what are you going to do, man? So, yeah. Are you going to get the iPhone 10? Are you waiting for it?
No.
No, huh? No
I
rush?
Mean, no rush. I still have this one.
Which one is your...
I think it's a 7.
Oh, the latest light. Oh, well, almost the latest.
Is it, what's after it, 8?
Well, 7S. There was
and
a 7S.
So it went, whatever happened to 8 and 9?
Well, 8 is just came out, but people are bypassing it because they want the 10.
What about iPhone 9?
There was no 9. They made it 10 because it's a 10-year anniversary. If you realize that Microsoft Windows also skipped 9.
That's
and
weird.
Went to Windows 10.
Hmm. That's
yeah.
interesting.
I know, but these are all business decisions that people actually think about, you know?
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. So, I've been reading more books on science and God and stuff, and it's really, really fascinating to me. I gotta tell you, you know, how we're so preoccupied with where we came from. But some people are going, why are you, like, so into it? I'm like, I don't know, I have that curiosity, you know,
because mm-hmm.
some people don't really care. They're like, you know, if you're like an I think if you're an agnostic or something, then you don't really care. Or how does it work? I don't know. I'm pretty ignorant about the difference between atheist and agnostic. I think one doesn't believe in God and the other one denies, or I don't know what it is, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, again, I just think these are concepts that are so far beyond our comprehension.
Yeah, yeah, right? I know. But what is interesting, though, that I've been reading is how you have similar rituals, similar customs, similar this in populations around the world that, you know, at one time did not have any contact with each other. You know, so yet, you know, you have some obscure religion in Asia, let's say, and then you have some religion here in the West, and they all have similar rituals for death, for coming of age, puberty, marriage, things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, where does it come from? You know, where does it come that people, every, like, Homo sapien that we've ever known has worshipped some kind of gods, you know. So it
I mean, that's kind of what we are. It's what we were. I mean, it's what's been handed down as information from generations that we don't know anything for fact. Right. You know what I mean? Like, the Bible is just what we were given as far back as, you know, time, as far back as humans can remember. But who's to say that wasn't?
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think.
Everything. Like, I look at the game of telephone. You ever played telephone as a kid?
Right.
Where you sit around in a giant circle and someone starts off with a sentence or a saying, and by the time it gets all the way around back to the person, they whisper it back to you. It's completely different than different, anything you ever could have imagined.
Right.
And I honestly think that. That is kind of a lot. Like, look at even the information that's shared online. We can't even verify what's fake and what's, you know what I mean? Like, we have a hard time with that.
Right.
And that's with the internet.
But you're talking about our specific religion. What I'm saying is, in general,
I'm just saying our beliefs as a society, from all religions and just everything, like, most of it comes from the Bible. That's where a lot of, like, our information.
No, but some religions don't have a Bible like us, per se.
Right, but there was obviously like Quran or whatever it is, whatever religion, their information, their way of conducting themselves was passed down from generation to generation.
Right.
And I equate that a lot to, like, that game of telephone, where who knows what happened. In the beginning, we only know what we were told. You know what I mean?
Really. I mean, there's a lot of scientific evidence to how people lived, you know, that they had language, they had art, they had things like that.
Right. But I'm talking about religion.
No, I know. But as far as what people believed, you know, similar things, you know, in beings, in the weather, in the cosmos, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is
the
crucial thing, Rachel, is what I'm saying is that they deduce from that if all people have that, even though many of them never came in contact with each other, that it's got to be some kind of in our genetics.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Back in the day, like, before they had the internet, how did they all kind of worship?
Not even before the internet. I'm talking about
Before there was communication. Yeah, exactly. They all had their own, but it all seemed to kind of be the same thing, but just in different stories,
Different stories. Yeah, yeah. So that's why I'm starting to really be convinced that, you know, we have some hardwired into our biology that propensity to look for something, you know, to look for a God.
Also, we don't use, think about our brains, right?
Yeah.
We know that we don't even use most of our brain.
Right.
There are certain, not that I'm condoning this, but there are certain drugs that you can take that help you access. That's why people, well, I think half of, obviously, because people can die from drugs, but you can die from lots of things that are legal. But I think that a lot of these chemicals allow you to access certain parts of your brain.
Right.
That you wouldn't be able to normally access, there's a documentary on it on Netflix about, I think it's a DH, or I forget which drug or which chemical it is, but it's called the God drug or the God particle or whatever it is. It's like you take this drug and you're able to, like, the same kind of part of your brain that associates with God or religion, like, just is, like, opened
lit up.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow.
It's supposed to be, I think, DMT. Yeah. Not that I'm condoning this, but they've done studies and there's a documentary about it on Netflix. And I think I find things like that interesting. Like, why does society want to keep us numb with, like, pharmaceuticals and not have, you know what I mean? And keep us on like cigarettes and killing us and alcohol. But, like, stuff like that, you know, why can't we be able to use it, you know? People are going to be fuck-ups anyway, so.
I know, it doesn't make sense, you know. I mean, one of the most logical, most illogical things is the fact that that marijuana is still classified as...
Well, I said that today. Right? You know, me, the fact that Facebook allowed, and not just Facebook, but Facebook, Twitter, however else, allowed Russian advertising to go on this... You mean people were spending chunks of money to advertise Russian propaganda, whatever they were doing, you know, how to fuck up our election using face, that can happen, and ISIS can advertise and shit like that and be all over you, but cannabis brands can't advertise? To me, it's just crazy. And the fact that they go and target cannabis companies and not target people that are trying to fuck up our democracy using right. our own
but what
tools.
Do you think, so do you think all those forces are because of the pharmaceuticals, really, that are
I don't know
trying
if it's,
to keep
I don't
it,
know if it's pharma, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I don't know if it's necessarily, I mean, I think a part of it is, but remember, Corona is smartening up and just,
right.
like we talked about, is joining in with a big weed company up in Canada, and I think there's, I think it's, I want to say it's changing, but there's still a problem. Like, my friend got shut down last week, and all he does is make weed memes.
Wow.
Instagram shut down his account.
Really?
Yeah. My guest that we had on a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, how is this happening still?
Yeah.
When
you see, that's it. What is the problem that the feds are having with marijuana that they... All the states have practically accepted it except for the federal government. So there's got to be a lot of pressure.
As long as we have that Keebler elf in power, which hopefully won't be too much longer, because they're finding out Jeff Sessions is a little fucking liar. I hate that dude. He colluded with the Russians. He was all tied with all those fuckers that Trump had up in his cabinet. So he might be out of a job real soon.
So they're saying Sessions was involved too?
Well, the guy Papadopoulos, he right. answered to Jeff Sessions.
Oh,
so, and Sam Clovis, who's waiting to be confirmed for some job that he has no business having. I mean, it gets more ridiculous every day. Trump is at the lowest. I mean, he's at 33%. Like, really? That means 70, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or 67%.
But it's clear that that's what is happening.
It's,
you know?
Just...
And you have to realize that that's a lot of conservatives...
Oh, they hate. They hate. They can't wait. That's the thing. Is it's really going to bring the good ones together,
right.
and the rest, and you know, because.
See, that's me, man. Because I just.
It's not your fault, Sam. It's
no,
not your
I know
fucking
it's
fault.
Not.
And
it's
never
not
take,
because
and you can't because the fact that you aren't still on Trump. Not that you know, you just were thinking you were doing what the best. Was at the decision.
I didn't
at the time.
Have a choice. I felt I didn't have a
you're
choice.
Right,
I mean,
but,
if you're a conservative, what
they did,
what, are you gonna
what
do?
They did to, and listen, I didn't even like Hillary either, right?
Yeah.
But I just knew not Trump because he seemed like a terrible person,
right?
But
and he did.
But what they, but what they've just done to everything is just, and right. we have to. Get
no,
better.
No, you can't. You really, and people have smarted up, and I mean, I never thought. It would be, I
like
went
this.
Through a lot of...
You know, Republicans are talking impeachment.
Yeah, I
they
know.
They are. It's
I know.
Crazy.
That's good. I mean, I did from day one.
You were like, fuck.
Yeah, fuck this shit, man. I don't want that.
What was it for you? What was your first, like, when you saw, like, what did it for you when you saw Trump fucking up? Like, what was the moment where you're like, this guy is not what I thought he was?
Listen, all I can tell you is this. I never supported him.
Right.
What I supported is the Republican Party
right.
because... I'm a conservative at heart, or
but
have
what?
Become
but what specifically? Like when you first,
so
like, what
I
was the first
like,
thing that you were like, "Fuck this guy! I hate this guy."
The fact that actually, from the beginning, when he started talking shit about McCain, remember that?
How disrespectful, right?
Yeah, right. And then you start realizing
he's on his deathbed, still working,
right?
You know, still trying to help us.
And you know, and this guy's like, no, and I'm saying it's not like we didn't know; we knew what was coming.
Yeah,
it's, you know, we knew who the hell he was.
Honestly, though, Sam, even if you didn't vote for him, he's because of what has happened.
Yeah.
Russia fucked with us. He still would have won.
Probably,
Because truthfully, the numbers didn't make sense.
Yeah.
The numbers just didn't make sense. The fact that, and the polls that were like, he's never going to win, those polls are never wrong.
Right.
They don't fuck up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So I think we all kind of knew. We're finding out how. The question is, we know who.
Right.
And we know how, but we're finding out details of really how. I mean, the fact that 260 million people, I think that's the number that Russia reached. I knew shit was weird when they were putting out those Pizzagate stories, because I get it. People don't like Hillary. She wasn't perfect either. But to be honest, I would have felt safer with her or Bernie or someone else just as a face.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And no, and the fact we were all reached with the propaganda. All of us were.
Right.
And that's the thing is, like, we have to go back and we're like, what is true and what isn't true? And, you know.
Yeah. I know. Anyway.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, we got to wrap up. Another great show, folks. We thank Rabbi G for calling in. Check out kidskickingcancer.org and you can help. I mean, these kids are so cute in their martial arts uniforms and everything. Can't forget about them. And that's it, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.